dirt roads to rock crawling, two buck chuck to screaming eagle, moonshine to 50-year-old single malt. We talk about it all here on Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey with your hosts, Jason and Chris.
Welcome to Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey, episode 42, here in the home studio once again with my co-host, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
You're there.
Hey. I'm here.
So, you got some new contraption in front of you today.
Yeah, for episode 42, we are,
What does that thing do? Why is Lorenzo staring at it?
Well, because I think he thinks he's out of a job. And he might be. We'll have to fiddle with this thing.
Did you consult with Lorenzo before you made this purchase?
I didn't. He lives here with you, so.
That's why he's pissed right now.
He is pissed. He's
not even looking at me.
He might smash it. I don't know. Anyway, we're always trying to figure out ways to improve the way we do the show for our listeners, you, our listeners. And, one of the things, we do a lot of things, but, we were down at King of the Hammers, and we spent some time doing remotes, and we wandered around. We talked to people in pits, and we talked to people in campgrounds and, lugging equipment around. People in Laser Town. We lugged the whole kit and caboodle to Laser Town. That was cool with Cody Wagner. We had a viable workaround for portable recording when we were there. We recorded into the phone with wireless mics.
It sounded fine.
It was good. But moving forward, knowing that we're kind of always looking for ways to improve,
I've got a couple remotes that I need to do here.
That's correct.
Distilleries.
That's correct.
I'm going to hit one up in Idaho here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to go back up to visit our buddy Jake at Old Trestle Distillery.
Old Trestle, in
Truckee.
We fiddled around with the wireless mics and couldn't get it to do your iPhone because, iPhones don't have the right jacks anymore. And so you were going to have to lug your laptop. But now, so what did we do? We bought what do they call this thing? They called it a
Zoom H6.
Zoom H6 handy recorder.
It's a handy recorder.
And
Zoom 2600. Binford 2100 handy recorder.
It's very sexy. So we're experimenting. This is the recording is happening on that device right now. And it has the capability to, just out of the box, it can take four microphones. We can get an add-on dealio for it to make it go up to six microphones and all discrete inputs. So when I mix, I have control over everything, which is pretty cool. And all the post-production stuff. So we'll have to see how that works out.
All right. Well, you let us know because you're the one that handles all that. But we also got it to help out with our Skype interviews over the phone.
Absolutely. That was kind of one of our bigger challenges as this podcast grows and we want to bring you all great, great content. To interview people that are far and wide, we had a workaround for that too, but we had limitations where we couldn't really get the best sound quality and give the best sound quality back to the interviewee.
Right.
So now with this device, we'll be able to greatly improve our Skype audio quality during interviews, which is cool. So looking forward to it.
No, that's good. Moving on up, like the Jeffersons here.
Absolutely. You just dated yourself.
Well, yeah, we've done that several times on this podcast. And, I don't know who's paying for all this. We got to get, I was in contact with Dirtbag Johnny.
Oh, is he going to throw down some dough?
Yeah, no. He's going to help us out with the swag page, though, the web page to host up our hats, stickers, beanies, hoodies, shirts. So that should be coming out real soon here in the next, I'd say the next month to be safe, probably in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So look forward to that announcement where those of you that want some swag, some Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey swag, you can go online, purchase it. And that's one way we're going to help pay for Lorenzo's feed bill here.
Feed bill.
And bourbon bill.
And if any indication of how fast the stuff sold at KOH, the test run should be pretty good.
That was pretty good. We just have a few hats left and like two shirts. So that's good.
Yeah. No, for sure.
It's a cool logo. Thank you, Johnny.
It is a very, very cool logo.
That worked out great.
It looks nice.
So now, that's something else in the future. And then we've got a few other things on the burner.
What's that?
I can't talk a whole lot about right now, but no. But the progress with Old Elk has stepped up significantly.
Woohoo!
So look for some fun collaborations with Old Elk here in the near future. Near future. Little tease there for our listeners. And those of you that have been listening for a while know that it's something that kind of all started back in December, and now here we are moving into 2020.
Yeah.
Strong.
25 bottles later.
Yeah, that we've purchased. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We've got some exciting stuff that we're working through, and if half of it becomes a reality, it'll be freaking cool.
Oh, shit. 2020 is looking great.
So, a lot better than 2019 already, I can tell you that.
2019 was a roller coaster, man. I mean, I know you and I were just, before we started recording here, we were talking about some calendar items, and this is a packed calendar. I don't know how the hell we're going to do all this stuff.
Yeah, just trying to figure out some of the events we want to go to and cover and participate in. Yeah, I just have to see what we can do what we can with what we got. That's all you can do.
Well,
how's that for words of wisdom?
So, I mean, there's only so many vacation hours in the year that some of us can take. So
speaking of 2019, our friends over at Chartable, which I still am convinced that it is a bunch of monkeys in a room drinking Fireball, throwing darts at a board, picking their favorite podcast.
Tyler!
So I don't know. There's really no rhyme or reason how numbers go up and down, but I don't know. Maybe one day it'll come out. But interesting statistic here.
Hit me.
Okay, so they're calling 2019 the golden age of podcast.
What does that even mean?
Well, because the numbers have proven, and listen to these numbers. You ready?
Yeah.
You sitting down there?
I'm sitting.
294,736 new podcasts appear in Apple Podcasts in 2019.
Did you say almost 300,000?
294,736 new podcasts. That's, so we were one of them.
That's new, not episodes, but new
podcasts, new Apple Podcasts.
That's like one in...
We were one of those.
One in 10 for the population of the United States.
No, listen to this. Something. So publishing almost 16 million episodes, that's a 35% increase in new shows and nearly 60% increase in new episodes from 2018. To put the new show numbers in perspective, that's over 800 new podcasts per day.
Wow.
Or one new podcast every 2 minutes for the entire year. Boom.
And think about how our podcast started. It was just a few guys sitting around a campfire in the woods say, hey, we can do that. How many people
drinking
were doing
bourbon.
The same thing? Sitting around, sitting whatever. Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know, but how about that? So we were part of the golden age of podcast.
But we're still here. I'm curious to know how many of them are still, of all the startups.
Interesting.
That aren't, because they say 7 to 10 is the magic number. If you make it past 7 or 10 episodes, I've heard two different numbers now.
Right.
This guy that we're following we talked about earlier was a Michael O'Neill.
Yeah.
He says 7. And I've heard of the other number.
Oh, he's
10.
The one that said 7
yeah.
episodes? Well, so, we're doing all right.
I think
episode
so.
42 here.
42. Going strong. Buying equipment.
The number one podcast, you know who that is?
NPR?
Nope. Joe Rogan. Rogan Experience.
Oh, Joe Rogan. Yeah.
And so, anyways, I just thought that was some interesting numbers to share.
Crazy.
Pretty crazy. And here I thought we were unique.
We thought we were somebody. Turns out we're not.
Well, no, it's actually pretty cool to be part of that, and cool that we're still on the air.
Absolutely.
We haven't got shut down yet, so Lorenzo is doing something down there positive,
I guess. He's been sober for 2 weeks.
2 weeks? How about you? Have you been sober for 2 weeks since...
Well, I did go out on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
Went to a nice dinner.
You were sending out drunk text.
Not really. I didn't get drunk, but I definitely had a good time. Well,
there you go.
Yeah, I was doing a little traveling for work, real work, day job work, up to Sacramento area for some irrigation computer programming training. Yeah, it sounds like, oh, you just add some time to it.
You
not quite.
Right? I thought your weather station adjusts everything automatically. You don't even touch your irrigation system.
I don't have
system.
A weather station. I use my finger in the air.
That's a good way of doing it.
It's a $17,000 irrigation controller, ladies and gentlemen. So,
well, there you go.
High-tech stuff.
How many heads do you have out there?
3,000.
Yeah, 3,000 heads.
3,000.
And each head has a valve.
Each head has a valve.
Valve and head.
It's called valve 3,000, and head.
So you have 3,000 stations, essentially.
That's right.
Yeah, that computer controls.
Bigger than your 12-station home controller.
Correct. And those heads are putting out how many gallons per minute?
25 to 35, depends.
And shoot, 60 feet.
60 to 90, yeah.
60 to 90 feet.
Yeah. Usually 80 feet. These are big sprinklers, all right, folks.
Well, this isn't the golf course podcast, but there you go. There's a little insight in Chris's world.
It'll knock you on your ass if you're standing in front of it when it turns on. Good morning! Anyway. So we drank a little bit of wine at that dinner Thursday night. It was
and you
good.
Learned something.
And I learned something, so I had that
did
going
you bring
for
your
me.
Propeller hat?
No propeller hat. No.
Okay. Well, did anybody have a propeller hat there?
There was didn't have, but they showed a picture of a guy, like the computer guru for NSN with Lynx, Toro guy. He's in the back row of the big picture of the staff. Man, he looks like he doesn't see the light of day very often. Oh, yeah.
Wow. He lives in a cave surrounded by computer monitors.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Wow. It looks like he needs to, you know, get outside occasionally.
A little pasty looking.
Yep.
All right. Anyways.
Moving on.
Hey, so speaking of more numbers.
Yes, sir.
You can send money to Wheelie Wine. No.
P.O. Box.
What happened at KOH? The 4400 race on Friday. Eric Miller went from
2 to 3,
from second to third, and Marco stepped up from third to second, moving on up.
We had a mistake. Somebody made a mistake.
What do you know? What happened? Because I hadn't officially heard what had happened.
So.
There was a transponder issue or something?
Yeah, they had a faulty transponder, and I think they recorded the start time for Marcos Gomez was incorrect.
Okay.
It was off by 5 minutes or something like that. They had to make an adjustment on that. So there's a change in position, and second and third place was transposed.
Right.
And I'm sure somebody was unhappy and somebody was thrilled.
Sure. Looking at the numbers, so Josh Blyler is still number one.
Right.
He took home a paycheck for $65,000.
Right, right.
Not too shabby. And then Marcos got bumped up to second, which netted him $25,000.
Right.
And then Eric Miller got $10,000 for third, so it was a $15,000 swing between Eric and Marcos there,
right?
Which probably in the big scheme of things for those guys is not a huge deal, but still, $15,000 is $15,000.
I don't think the Gomez brothers are struggling for dough.
No, but $15,000 is, you know, you could have some fun with $15,000. That's a few sets of sticky tires.
Fuck yeah.
You're thinking of like strip clubs and
no, I don't do that.
Oh,
I don't like those things. They're lame.
They're lame. So lame. And then Bailey, you know, of course Bailey stayed there in fourth.
Right.
He got $5,500.
So got some dough there. But I mean, when you look at the numbers after all the dust settles, it looked like Marcos Gomez beat out Eric Miller by a minute and a half, basically.
Really.
When you're talking about a 7.5-hour race or whatever for a minute and a half, for it to be able to come down to a minute and a half, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but that's racing, man.
It is. It sucks that didn't get all rectified right there on the stage, but.
Well, it seemed like we heard during the race that they were having transponder problems. I think we may have heard a little bit on the race ops.
I can only imagine. I mean, it's pretty amazing that more mistakes don't happen because it's such a vast area.
Oh,
the reception's so poor out there. Yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's just, you're out in the middle of a freaking desert. So
right.
to have any data at all is good, but, you know, yeah, well, at least they got it corrected, and that is the corrected final.
Sounds like it. For Ultra 4. I don't know what kind of other audits they do, if they've got outside or whatever, but that sounds like it is what it is. There it is.
So the total prize purse for the 4400 class is $125,000 and
$1. $125,000 and $1. Yep.
And
why?
That $1 goes to the last place.
That's right.
And it's signed, the dollar signed, by the winner.
The first place winner.
The first place winner. So it got signed by Josh Blyler.
That's correct.
And given to the last place. Do we know who the last place
Well, that's the question. Is it last place?
Is it the DNF?
DNF, or is it last place in the finishers?
That's what I would think. That's a good question. Does Lorenzo know?
I don't know, but I don't know.
Well, that's an okay answer. I don't know is an okay answer, Chris.
Well, it's here's Tommy. I have the race
results.
It's
better than
right
making
here.
Stuff up like some of the other podcasts out there.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not afraid to say I don't know. I'll circle back and have the correct answer at some point. Or Lorenzo, if he gets off his ass.
Lorenzo is frantically looking right now. He is trying to earn his keep again. He realizes
okay.
that this new machine may replace him.
Lorenzo just raised a hoof.
Oh, he did. Okay, here we
silence.
Go.
Okay, so the last finisher that finished.
Yeah, within time.
Within time was yes. car number 44, Michael Fagans or Fagans.
Okay.
He had a race time of 13 hours and 54 minutes and 1 second. But I don't know if he got the dollar or if... let me scroll down here.
So they cut it off at 14 hours.
I think so, right.
Can you imagine being in the... race car, or just a race car, okay, just in one of those 4,400 cars for 14 hours.
Yeah. No, I can't.
No. No, no, no.
No, no, no.
That doesn't sound comfortable at all.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe not, I don't know, I've never been in a race car doing that, but it was interesting. I don't know if you saw that video on Instagram of that trophy truck that jumped and it landed on some of the bushes and it was just going stupid fast through the desert.
Right.
I don't know if this was footage from KOH.
Okay.
But, you know, the guy took air. It was yes. a trophy truck. And,
yes.
And he took air and he hit the ground. He's doing like, I don't know, 100 plus.
Sure.
And he's just like, all of a sudden he's driving over bushes, you know, manzanita
yeah, yeah.
or whatever the bushes out there are. And, but he's hitting these whoops at over 100, and the suspension is going, you know, and the truck's like, just, I mean, the body
like
is flat.
Yeah.
And I know that there's still some action going on inside.
You see the in-car cams. I mean, they're still getting jostled around, but not like a Volkswagen Bug.
So my question is, how does a trophy truck and 4 foot whoops compare to an Ultra 4 car and 4 foot whoops?
I think it's a major difference.
You think that
yeah.
it's still light
from
years
different?
The stories
different? I've heard, yeah. Except for these guys in the IFS cars are better off, but no, it's still you're still getting beat to.
But it's better than a 20-year-old buggy,
exactly.
So
or a 1950s Volkswagen Bug, Baja Bug, going through the desert.
Hey, don't beat up on Herbie.
Herbie the Love Bug.
So anyway, that's kind of the dealio there. So the last DNF.
Yeah.
Lost my mouse.
Oh, it ran away from you.
Was Jay Calloway. So I don't know if, I don't know.
Jay. Jay's funny. He was on the pre-show.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, when they hosted the pre-show at Four Wheel Parts.
Oh, okay.
A few weeks before.
Is he, he's
doing
a,
the announcements.
Isn't he a Four Wheel Parts driver, isn't he?
I think he is. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so car 44, Fagan.
And then 44
possibly got the dollar or Jay Calloway is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. So, well, that's cool. Well, we'll have to see if we can verify who the actual dollar went to.
Yeah, no doubt. Maybe we can send an email to Emily
yes.
at KOH Media.
Find out where that dollar went.
Emily, if you're listening, you can text us and let us know.
That would be awesome.
All right. So what else we got going on?
Well, what is this?
Oh, you know, I was poking around and, you know, I know we kind of busted each other's chops a little. You busted my chops a little bit, no Christmas present. So I figured, oh, I saw this, and I said, you know, I think you'd kind of get a kick out of it. Wait. And
it looks like a big, it's a triangular-shaped box that looks like a giant Toblerone candy bar.
Yep.
That's what it looks like. It's like a foot and a half long.
But it's not.
But it's not?
No.
All right.
I would have eaten that.
It feels pretty light.
Well, be careful with the knife.
Oh, really? Well, let's see here. I got to cut.
Don't cut your hand off either.
No. This is a very sharp knife, too. Let's see how this. Okay. And then this has got to be cut. And I got a big shipping label here.
Yes, the excitement is palpable.
Well, there's some serious tape on here.
Well, I don't think they wanted to get damaged. It's fragile.
Oh, you know, it's a fragile? That's from France?
That's French. French for fragile.
Is something going to jump out?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. It's a scroll.
Scroll.
It is a poster of whiskey knowledge. Holy smokes. This is like extremely detailed.
And frameable.
And frameable for your viewing pleasure. Whiskey tasting guide.
So now we're educating ourselves even more.
Wow. So you got bourbon, scotch, Irish, and Canadian. And then novice, the dabbler, the semi-pro, and the expert. I wonder where... Oh, I'm definitely expert. They mentioned Blanton's right off the bat.
Well, hell yeah.
So there you go. All these. What else? Oh, Jameson 18-year. Yep. Pendleton. Yep. Avalor. Oh, my gosh. Glenlivet. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Good, good, good. All the different regions. Talks about the chemistry of whiskey. The process. Whoa. I haven't seen drawings like this since organic chemistry.
Holy moly.
Yeah, that's some seriously... Oh, wow. Phenolic...
What'd you just say? Don't hurt yourself.
Phenolic compounds. I mean, this is what... Yeah, this is all O-Kim all over again. I'm having flashbacks, bad flashbacks.
I'm starting to shake.
Oh, my God. This is very cool. Very cool, Chris.
There you go. Oh,
thank you very much. Yeah, we'll definitely have to hang this up in the studio here.
Hell yeah. Whiskey, Lorenzo, get away. You can't drink it.
No, can't drink it. Know the difference between bourbon, scotch, and Irish variety. Look, see? Okay, well, we're going to have to pass some of this knowledge on to our listening.
Fuck yeah.
Listening audience.
That's a second.
You're dropping F-bomb. The F-bomb a lot today.
Well.
And it's still daylight.
Well, it's, yeah, thank God.
Wow. Wow.
You know, daylight savings, the time changes right around the corner, too.
What is up with that? Where did winter go?
It was December.
Is it gone?
It's gone.
It's not gone. Gone. Please tell me it's not gone. I was skiing last weekend.
No. Nope.
It was actually decent.
I say start dusting off your warm weather equipment because you don't even think about snowmobiling.
I haven't even had my snowmobile out yet. We're supposed to go next weekend.
Taking a break.
Really?
Taking a year off.
No.
Yep.
Snowmobile for sale. God damn. This is ridiculous.
We haven't had rain since January 29th.
Okay, so I heard an interesting statistic.
Oh, boy.
This is the driest February on record since Abraham Lincoln was president.
That's correct.
Is that true?
No, it would be true if we have no precipitation for the entire month. The month, of course, is not, well... When this airs, it will be over.
It will be over, so we'll have to see, but yes.
Potentially, yeah. So that was, Civil War was going on. 1862, is that right? I mean.
Oh, my
This gosh. Is, it, and you know, we're laughing about it, but it's also not a good situation.
Not a good honestly. Situation I mean, at all.
I saw some satellite or aerial shots of the sea. I guess they were satellite photos of the Sierras comparing.
Oh, that's
last year to
one,
this year, and it's bleak, man. It's unless Miracle March rolls through and just dumps and makes it all better,
right?
Yeah, this could be interesting. I mean, we could be on our adopted trail in May or April,
maybe April. So Abraham Lincoln was our 16th president.
That's right,
1861. To 1865.
Right.
Wow.
So that's over 100 years ago.
Yes.
150 years ago. That's a big record. That's a big record to smash.
Wow.
And not in a good way. So
Did you know that Abraham Lincoln's on our $5 bill?
Maybe. I know there's a five on the $5 bill.
Well, I didn't know if you deal with that small of change in your
sometimes,
wallet.
I don't know. I usually carry hundos.
You know. Yeah. Yeah, he's on a $5 bill.
What's on the $2
bill? This is what a $5 bill. What's on a $2 bill? You know who's on a $2 bill.
No, I don't.
Isn't it Jefferson?
No. Is it?
Yeah, Jefferson's on a $2 bill.
Oh, well, I'm not going to whip my $2 bill out, so.
Excuse me while I whip this out. All right, dropping some historical knowledge here. Woo! On Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
We don't just talk about alcohol on here in Wheeling.
And maybe we'll talk about Wheeling again at some point. But
what's the deal with your Jeep? Give us an update. I want a weekly update on your Jeep.
A weekly update.
Of what's going on and if we're going to – sightings.
Okay. So what I want to do at this point, because I've run into a little bit of a hiccup on funding, and this is real life.
It's all real life stuff here.
So I've been on the search for 35s that I can – I've been shopping on Craigslist and Amazon.
You know 40s are the new 35s.
I know. Facebook Marketplace. Without updating my front axle – I can at least do 35s. I saw there's a few people trying to sell 35-inch either MTRs or BF Goodrich, whatever the mud terrain they call those things. KM2s or something.
Yeah,
I KM2s. Think they're.
Nice. Get the stickies. Get the red.
Yeah, those aren't. I can
drive it on the street.
I need five on 4.5-inch bolt pattern. And there was a person, and I don't know if he's a listener or not, but he was relatively local to me that was selling a set of previous generation Goodyear MTRs, mm-hmm. 35 by 12.5, mm-hmm. 15 on steelies.
Okay,
my bolt pattern.
Okay, so bolt right on,
bolt right up. He wanted $600 for those things.
Okay,
I offered a reasonable. I made an offer.
Okay,
and he countered with "Price is firm, dude."
And no more negotiations from that point.
Slam the door.
Well, there you go.
I'm like, okay, well, good luck. And I checked yesterday. He did sell them. I don't know if he got 600 or not.
He probably got 400 for him.
Maybe. But people, when you have a legitimate offer on the table from somebody, don't just slam the door. Counter.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, he did counter with firm.
It's like you could have said 550 or 575. He literally just slammed the door.
Well,
and I don't know. To each their own, I get it. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, okay, dude, whatever.
So you're going to put 35s on there.
And then then I'm going to wheel it.
You're just going to wheel it.
I'm just going to wheel it.
And whatever breaks.
Whatever breaks.
Okay, good.
And that's it. I'll probably get the Sawzall out and I'll cut the openings on the back a little bit so I can make space.
Can I be there for the Sawzall party?
Yeah, you can help.
Because I do a really good job custom fender work. Apparently, it gets better when I'm drunk.
But there's a fuel tank right there, so we got to be a little careful.
It's all right. It's like a gas tank.
What's this? What's this? That's a fuel line. But I got to get it back on the trail. Yeah, everybody, you're right. I just need to wheel it. It is set up. I mean, it's just I need to put the compressor in it. The ARB twin, mount that up, and then I just need to get 35s, which they're out there. There's another guy selling some KM2s. He wants $900. He's in Pleasanton, mm-hmm. and they're on steelies. Ideally, I'd like to. If I'm gonna spend $900 or $1,000 on some older tires, I'd like to find some beadlocks. That'd be kind of cool,
right?
In my bolt pattern, it'd be kind of sweet. But not so much. So, that's my update right now. For what it's worth.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's better than we've had in a while.
Yep. Well, I was hoping to do a custom axle in the front, but unfortunately, some other things have come into play here.
Well, yeah, it always does. But maybe I don't know.
We'll see.
I think Mike's rig is still for sale.
It might be.
Just saying.
It might be.
Just saying.
Mikey. So yeah. Anyway, that's that update.
Okay.
So, what's going on with your rigs?
What is going on with my rigs? The buggy performed remarkably well at KOH.
No carnage at all?
No. No carnage. Just got extremely dirty, but
yeah.
No, I think everything looks good on there. So it's ready to go. Just get a little spit shine.
Perfect.
And get it ready for the next run. And the Jeep needs to be cleaned up a little bit. And just do a nut and bolt check on that, and I it's ready to go. So
what's the next potential runs?
What's the next run? Let's see. So coming into March here, I'm sure we'll go down to Hollister at some point.
March and then...
Yeah, and then I don't know. It really depends on weather.
Yeah. I know you want to ski some more and you want to go snowmobiling.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, because there's a snow run going on this weekend, but opted not to go because, you know, snow conditions aren't that good.
Well, you're not. I mean, earlier in the year, you heard all these people, you know, you'd see it on SF Baja. Who's going to Mormon Immigrant? Who's doing this? Who's going to Uncle Tom's? You know, whatever. Now, last I heard, Uncle Tom's Cabin, you could drive there in a Prius.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the people are.
Well, yeah. So we'll get an update today because I know a couple of my buddies went up that direction.
Right.
And Tyler was up there supposedly on the Rubicon.
Right.
He's probably going to
Rubicon
Ellis Creek.
Springs or
yeah.
Something.
And then, yeah, he might be all the way at the Springs by now.
Did he put the 39s on or not yet?
I don't think so. He had some more cutting to do and stuff, or he had to do some cutting in order to make those fit. So
you should offer to go up there and do that for him too.
Yeah, I could totally. I could just start a whole business here with the die grinder and sawzall and just cut right on through.
Here, let me help you with that.
Get the cutoff wheel going and the angle grinder.
Hold my beer.
Nice. Plasma cutter works good too for that stuff.
Yeah, just watch out for the gas tank.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for kind of chit-chat stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like Tyler here, we've gone on for a while of chit-chatty stuff.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, wow. All right, so let's cut right to the chase here. We've got a special interview.
We do.
Yes, for those of you that listen to Snail Trail over there, Jimmy, I guess is coming back from Antarctica. Posted or sent me a couple pictures with penguins, which
he's
is pretty
done playing
pretty
with the
cool.
penguins.
He's done playing with the penguins. He's coming back, but yeah. Well, we were down in the Hammers there. Tyler invited me in to interview with Bailey Cole.
There you go.
So of course
I missed my invitation.
Yeah, it was in the mail. Yeah. I think Lorenzo was supposed to deliver it to you.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Freaking Lorenzo. Anyway.
So anyways, I said, yes, I'll do it on one condition that we get get a copy of the interview to play on Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Sweet. And he agreed, apparently.
Of course, yeah. He's like, yeah, no problem. So Tyler, led the interview. I chimed in. We had some great conversations. Bailey's a great kid. I call him a kid because he's only 22 years old.
Youngin'.
Still in college.
Oh, boy.
But definitely up and coming and going to be a force to be reckoned with. He's already proved it several times over.
Oh, yeah. New car, placed what, fourth?
He finished fourth in a car that he only drove up Chocolate Thunder prior to running the main race. But he knows the Hammers like the back
course.
Of his hand. He
grew up
there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Started racing when he was 14. He's... He's won a lot of stuff. He was King of Britain, King of France. I don't know if the King of France knows about that. but no, Legends National Champion. And then, he just finished fourth here at the 4400 race with this IFS car. That's
right.
New to him that he says hashtag Flappy Bird. I like that hashtag.
Right.
With the front, referring to the front suspension.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's earned, and that was the point that I wanted to be sure that came across through the interview, and it does, is that he earned the right to be where he is. He's earned a name for himself, in the shadows of his father, Dave Cole, who is the mastermind before, ahead of all Ultra 4 here now.
Right, right.
And, Dave made it a point that, hey, you got to earn this, kid, and I'm here to support you, but I can't give you any advantages or anything like that.
Right.
Which is really cool. So great guy. I think you're going to love the interview. If you haven't heard it on Snail Trail yet, give it a listen here. And yeah, without further ado, let's hear the interview with Bailey Cole.
Roll it.
Welcome back, ladies, gents, and kiddos, to today's topic. So we have an awesome, awesome guest here on the lake bed. So we're told you we're getting lots of content for you guys over down here at Hammers, KOH, so 2020. We have in the RV in the Taj Mahal here is the one and only Mr. Bailey Cole.
Thank you guys very much for having me. Really looking forward to this.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming by. I know you have a busy schedule. Your team manager over here keeps you on track and on roll, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's just right now, right now.
No. So, yeah, we have Bailey Cole here. We have your girlfriend, Mackenzie.
Yep.
So she's here hanging out as well, the team manager. We got Jason from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you ended up in this.
Well, I came in here for a cocktail, and then I saw that you were doing a podcast. So yeah. I said, well, I can do that.
I know how to talk on a mic sometimes. So cool. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. How old are you?
I am 22.
22.
Yep.
And you have been racing now for how long?
I believe this is my seventh year.
Your seventh year. So you've been racing since you're 15.
Yep. Started racing right before I got my driver's permit.
That's awesome.
That's the way to do it. So that's cool. And in just, you know, in the 7 years you've been doing it, you're 22. You're still in college.
Yep. Yep.
In Arizona. Mm-hmm. And you have now gotten to do a couple of really cool things and had a lot of successes.
Oh, yeah. It's been amazing to be given the opportunities I've been given.
Yeah. I ran into you down in Baja.
Yes, sir.
If you guys listen to the podcast, the episodes, the listeners out there, you know about my Baja trip and some of the shenanigans that went down. But I ran into you in Texas Jesus down on the main strip, downtown San Felipe.
Yep.
And that was really cool. And I apologize for fanboying out when that happened, but it was cool. And then I ran into you again out in, was the Mateo Wash?
Matomi
Wash.
Yep.
When I was bouncing the 4Runner up and down and you came up behind me like, hey, is everything okay? And I was like, I don't know. I think I broke something in my rear shocks.
Yep. You thought you had a little issue, and then I was in a stock, I think Kawasaki Terex, just putting along the desert.
Yep. Yeah, yep. It looked like a little gator, like a farm side-by-side.
It definitely was not meant for what we were doing to it.
And so the funny story, the guy that I was with in the Chevy, the chase truck that I was with, he was looking, and he goes, who was that? I was like, oh, that was the guy from last night, Bailey Cole. And he goes, what's he doing out here? And I was like, he says he's pre-running, so I imagine he's pre-running. And he goes, in that thing?
Yep.
He goes, what the hell is he driving? I was like, no, that's a good question. I didn't know what you were driving. And you got a really cool opportunity. What did you end up driving in Baja?
So Team Savvy had been racing the score whole series, and they let me drive in the 1000 with them.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. My dad was racing the whole year, and then Dan Fresh, the other driver, backed out for the 1000 to get into a spec truck, so they had an open seat, and they asked me.
That's so cool. So you got to drive the JT.
Yes, sir.
Through Baja. Did you do the whole... You came in halfway, right?
I got in at race mile 280, 300.
Yeah, okay. around 300, there. I think.
Yeah. Nice.
And you got in at, like, what, 8, 9 p.m., was it? Something like that? Kind of drove through the night?
I think it was 12:30.
Or 12:30.
It was a late shift. Yep. And then I drove straight through the night till about 9 in the morning to Zoo Road Crossing.
Okay. Nice. How was that experience?
It was a little rough. So when I got in, we started hearing this clacking in the front end.
Uh-oh.
It turned out our tire rod was missing the nut on the bottom.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
But
I've had that happen before.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Our track bar was right above it, the mounting, so it was keeping the bolt from coming out.
Oh, that's nice.
And that was the only thing holding the steering.
Oh, my gosh.
So we drove about 150 miles until the next time we saw a pit before we could even fix the issue.
Wow.
So
did you guys get out and look at it and then drive the next 150 miles, or did you look at it when you got to the pit and then realized you're like, oh, my God, we've been driving?
So, us being the real professional smart race car drivers we did about 90 across Diablo.
Nice.
Uh-huh. And then got into Matomi a bit more and realized the noise wasn't going away.
Yeah.
So, then we decided to go look at it and realized how much of an issue we were having.
Yeah.
And then continued to drive the next 70 miles past that till the next pit.
Oh, that's fantastic. I did that once. I came off a trail, and same thing happened. The nut on the bottom of the bolt that holds my tie rod on. No, it was my drag link. My drag link on was not there when I got back to the hotel, and I also didn't have brakes that trip coming back. And I was like coming down one of the just a steep windy road, and I was like, if I had lost the steering and the brakes, I'd be dead.
Yeah, that would not be a good time.
Yeah,
I had my trailer to slow you down. You were following me.
No, it wasn't. I stopped and took the phone call.
Oh, that's right.
And then everybody just kind of went left. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I have really low gearing. That's a Toyota, so it just controls its own descents. Down
so they
stuff.
Just ditched you out there?
Yeah, pretty much, as good buddies do.
Well, absolutely. Always leave a man behind.
Phone call behind. Away.
Yeah. So that's cool. And then you guys ended up winning your class.
Yep, we ended up winning by, I think, 50 minutes or so.
5-0?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
The guy in second rolled, and we tried to winch him back over right before I got in the car, but our line broke, so we used four-wheel drive because we were in the Jeep.
Uh-huh.
We're able to get past them, and then that gave us like a four-hour lead, so we just cruised it in after that.
Wow. Super that's cool. Yeah, I know that there was a lot of issues between two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive.
Oh, yeah.
At Baja this year. We had some rainstorms come through right before the race.
And that race was every type of weather available. Because when I was driving, it was 90 degrees and sunny. And then the guys on the other side were driving through 3-foot mud holes.
Yep.
It was crazy, the changes.
Yeah, I was watching some of the videos that were coming out on Instagram the day before the race was supposed to start of just these, you know, freaking $500,000, $600,000 trophy trucks
just burying in mud
and not getting anywhere. So it was highly entertaining. And that was the third time in the history of the Baja 1000 that they moved the start time.
I didn't know that was the third time.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was an intense couple of days.
It was crazy.
We were getting all suited up, ready to go. And they were like, nope, 24-hour delay.
Yeah.
just take another day.
Yeah. There was a bunch of teams kind of hanging out in San Felipe, the day before, and all of a sudden the whole town was very much alive.
Very
the night of the supposed to be the race start day.
Yeah,
ended up being the next day. So that was very entertaining in San Felipe that day. So what are you studying in college? Let's get a little bit of your background here.
So I'm a junior up at Northern Arizona University, in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Okay.
And I'm in the business marketing.
Nice.
Yep.
Very cool. And how's your team manager? Is she teaching you some things about business marketing as well as you're going through here?
I mean, she probably already knows more than me, but she's a nursing major, so when I end up hurting myself, she can.
I was
going to
say that's a good match when you go and roll your car down somewhere or flop it over and don't pull your arm in or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. Knowing me, I'll just trip over my own 2 feet.
Nice. So cool. How much your junior? Are you on track to pretty much finish on time and get out of there and do your thing?
Yeah, I'm a little bit behind, but from earlier years, since I got up to Flagstaff, I've been pretty on the point.
Yeah, we all do that. We all wander a little bit the early years, and then you're like, all right, I want to get out of here and get on with doing some other stuff.
Yeah. So I want to focus on more. Some real things.
Exactly. Yep.
Get that piece of paper on the wall.
Oh, yeah. So let's go to some of your cars that you've had in the past.
Okay.
Of course, your dad is Dave Cole.
Yes, sir.
Who kind of runs this whole show down here. Mm-hmm. And he does an amazing job with everything that it is, everything that it has been. So you've been around off-roading your entire life.
Yep. He got a 86 Toyota 4Runner.
Yeah.
When I was...
My boy.
Oh, yeah. When I was like 3 or 4.
Uh-huh.
As a way for us to go out on the weekends and hang out.
Yeah.
And that was IFS bone stock when he got it.
Uh-huh.
And I think after like 2 or 3 months, he was already cutting the front end off to solid axle swap it on our deck, lighting our deck on fire because we didn't have a garage back then.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. So you grew up, how long did he have that rig? How long were you guys out wheeling in that and playing around and enjoying off-roading?
I think he had that to like 2003 or 4. He had
really?
It for a long time. Yep.
That's cool.
He's part of the Tin Benders.
Yep.
Right.
That's the rig he got into it in.
Right. Yep. Right.
And a couple years ago, I also got into that group too.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Nice.
Guilty by association.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are they located? I've never heard of the Tin Benders.
Oh my gosh, Tyler.
See,
really?
I'm
really. You are owned your own little Toyota world. Bailey, educate him on the tin benders and the history here at the Hammers.
So, you know, pirates then, right?
Pirate 4x4.
Pirate 4x4,
yeah. Pirates of the
Rubicon. Rubicon. Uh-huh. You've heard of the Rubicon Trail, right, Tyler?
I haven't actually. Where's that?
It's just up the road from you.
Nice hour and a half drive from me. So
those guys were up there, and the tin benders were down here doing the actual hardcore wheeling.
Yeah.
So okay, there was a lot of, you know, we got harder trail than the Rubicon.
Yeah.
Which is true.
It is.
It's definitely harder down here than the Rubicon.
Absolutely.
The Rubicon is no joke, but it's not hard.
It's not, I mean...
Comparatively.
Well, until the race cars get into here, then sidehill everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. So, okay, that's cool. Because I don't know any of the off-roading history of SoCal at all.
Oh.
And I just know the surface of the NorCal off-roading history and, like, the Pirates and Pirate 4x4. So, and the Fordyce versus Rubicon rivalry that goes on. So,
yeah.
So cool. You grew up in an 86 Toyota.
Yep.
4Runner. Car after my heart. My first my first crawler was an 85.
Okay.
So, the golden year. What was your first car? Your personal first car?
So my first car was when I was 10 years old.
Okay.
I got a Suzuki Samurai to go beat around the desert out here.
Oh, uh-huh. Wow. Uh-huh.
That is awesome.
And so do you guys know the wash as you're coming in from Boone Road?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a jump at the bottom of it. And me being a 10-year-old kid, uh-huh, was hitting it in my Samurai the first couple times.
Uh-huh.
And then I went one time and I thought I was in second gear, but I think I was in fourth. And I jumped about 50 feet in the Samurai.
There's
actually still pictures up on Pirate. Uh-huh. And just about broke the transmission out the bottom. And then my dad wouldn't let me go into high range anymore.
That was it. You're done.
Locked it into low range. Oh, that's funny. Oh, man. You could have been in the long jump competition the other day with then, man.
I think it would have been competitive.
That would have been badass.
It would have made it further than the monster truck. I think the monster truck made it about 50 feet, 40 to 50. So,
Did you talk to Amber Turner that raced the Suzuki Samurai out here yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a Samurai race.
Yeah, no, it was a Samurai, and it was pretty much stock. I mean, she did everything she did to make it safe for the race, but we actually interviewed her, and then it was like a glorified trail ride for her.
That's awesome.
And that's how they were treating it. I mean, I went over to them when they were lining up yesterday, and her brother was the co-pilot part of the race, and he's eating Oreos. He had a McDonald's apple pie, you know. I'm like,
all ready to go.
Yeah, you guys, you don't got no clean air system on this or nothing. She goes, no, this is just going to be fun.
Yeah.
But, and she did well. She didn't finish, unfortunately, but she made it through all of lap one and started into lap two. So,
made it further than I did yesterday.
With 30, well, I was going to say, I don't know if that's a good segue or not
we'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll get there.
Tyler stays way structured. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, she was still on Suzuki Samurai axles, 31s. She had ATV winches, so it was perfect.
Sounds
it was cool.
Like an awesome car.
And right? She was practicing going down back door because she thought they were going to have to go down back door. Uh-huh. And she broke her rear winch going down back door, lowering herself down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it break as she was dropping and drop her the last couple feet?
I didn't get the whole specifics. She was just kind of into Hammertown, all excited. She'd go into the Warren booth to have her winch rebuilt. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I just broke my winch on back door. It was awesome. We did it twice. I mean, she has no fear. She has no fear.
Yeah.
I personally would never drop back door in a Samurai.
No.
Way braver than me.
Yes. It's awesome. Anyways, look her up. She's on cloud nine right now that she brought. It's car's still running under its own power.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Where did you go from the Samurai then?
So after that, next car was when I was 15. It was actually my first race car.
Okay.
It was also an 86 Toyota 4Runner.
Nice.
22RE.
Uh-huh.
Still IFS.
Oh, really?
Torsion bars.
Oh,
everything.
Wow.
Leaf sprung rear.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
And Texas Jesus actually built it in our garage. That's when he ended up moving into the garage with me and my dad. And he ended up not leaving for another 7 years after. He just moved out a couple months ago.
Oh, that's great.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. That's cool. So what all did you have done to that 4Runner?
So we put a Tundra front diff in it.
Nice.
Because we were worried about blowing up the front end.
Yep.
RCV shafts, use some of the best products. I believe we used a diamond axle rear end.
Okay. Kept it the 8-inch though?
Oh, yep.
Okay.
Yep. And then the Deaver springs.
Nice.
Besides that, it was basically a 4Runner.
Nice.
And just beat around the desert.
That's awesome. How many years did you race that thing?
I believe I raced that for 3 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then where'd you go from that then?
Into the spec class.
Okay.
I got into the spec class for one race before I ended up racing the next year fully in the spec class.
Okay. What kind of car did you have there? Did you take the 4Runner into the spec class or did you?
So the spec class was a class in Ultra 4 that it was a Jimmy's chassis.
Okay.
5.7 Hemi.
Okay.
Single shock per corner.
Okay.
It was basically what Legends cars are nowadays.
Yeah.
But it had to be the same exact car. It's... My dad made 6 of them and they were basically rentals.
Oh, nice.
So I was racing against the year I raced. I was racing against Ricky Johnson, not Jimmy Johnson. Sorry, Ricky. Ricky Johnson, Luke Johnson, Bradshaw, and I'm forgetting who else I raced against that year. It was just being rotated throughout the year. Wow. But it ended up me and Ricky battling for the championship, which he ended up winning. But it was great learning from him, and that was a great opportunity to race against him.
Nice. So you did spec class for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us up to year 5 of 7 that you've been racing here now. So after that, then you got your 4800 car?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And that's one of the Trent Fabrication cars.
Okay.
That was the Crawl America that was built for Trail Gear Matt.
Okay.
Right.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And cool. Dave Schneider, DSI, let me race it and ended up doing really well that first year. We won the championship.
Yeah.
And then the next year, we actually raced that car in 4400 and got top 10 in national points in it. And then last year, I raced it again and won a championship again.
Yeah.
So,
and so you've had
car's
some
been very successful.
You've had a good car. Of course, it takes a great pit crew, pit team as well to be able to make a car get around out here in any Ultra 4 race, but especially Hammers. What all did you have done with the 4800 car? Like what kind of engine and drivetrain are you running in there? What kind of axles, tires, wheels? What's all the good stuff?
It was a 463, proper tuning.
Okay.
Josh West built the motor.
Nice.
It was 3-inch IBPs, Foxes.
Okay.
And those things just soaked up all the bumps. They worked awesome. We were hitting some holes. We actually passed, I'm forgetting his name, Lasernut.
Oh, how Cody about, Wagner.
Cody Wagner. Somehow.
Did you wave at him when you went by? Hey.
My head was a little bit full when we were passing him. We stepped out into the big stuff and were able to get him in one of the washes. That was one of my highlights of racing in 2017.
That's cool.
Being able to pass him.
Yeah.
And then we blew apart the rear shocks a couple miles later from slamming through the whoops a little too hard. But we were able to finish that race without rear shocks.
Nice. Got a little bouncy on you? The rest of the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's actually where me and my co-driver, Tom, came up with the Nectar Scale.
How much your neck is bobbling around?
When we would hit the really big holes, we would rate our neck pain on a scale of 1 to 10. And that was the Nectar Scale.
Wow.
We only got a 10 once or twice.
Now, you're wearing a Hans device now, right?
We were wearing a Hans
back then, too?
It was just,
okay.
We were hitting so hard.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
God. Oh, man. So what? That was a solid axle car, correct?
Yes, sir.
Which axles were you running in there?
Spider Tracks.
Front
and rear.
Cool.
I've been really lucky to partner with some of the best brands in the industry, and I would never go a different direction than Spider Tracks. Their Spider 9s are just super light but super strong.
Nice. Okay. I was thinking, I didn't realize you were running the 9-inch. You were running the, I thought you but you had something a little bit bigger.
We run the 10-inch.
Oh, 10-inch. Yeah. I got you. Okay. Cool. Let's see. So from there, you have, you released kind of a new car, right?
Yes. We just recently got into a new car.
There's been some.
New to me car.
New to you car.
New to me car.
There's been some cool footage of you testing it out in the desert here as we're leading into Hammers.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that car.
So last November, right before Nationals, talking to Darren Hankey, because I'm also working on a new car.
Okay.
But that was not going to get ready before Hammers.
Oh. Okay.
So talking to Darren Hankey, he had a Trent Fab car just sitting out by his yard.
Was hanging out. Over it. Yep. Okay.
And talk
must,
to him.
Must be nice.
Oh, yeah. That's a yeah. I have my backup car's just over there.
Yeah.
So we were able to get that for a smoking deal, and Trent Fab basically cut off the front end, cut off the subframe, and rebuilt it. And then Travis Brake and Jake, that worked for my dad as fabricators, basically reassembled the car and got it all back together and got testing about 3 weeks ago.
Nice. You put all that. How quick was the quote unquote build of cutting off everything, the subframe and everything, and then redoing it to when you got it on out on the lake bed and start doing the testing?
So it was a chassis about 5 weeks ago.
Wow.
That's impressive. Wow. I'm always amazed.
I know.
At what you guys do and go through to get cars ready and on the lake bed out here.
Oh, yeah. People always look at the drivers and how awesome, like, Jason Shear and Shannon Campbell and all those people are. But it's really the crews. Like, I have the easy job. I just sit behind the wheel and turn it every once in a while. It's all the people behind me that really don't get the credit they deserve.
Wow, that's cool. So how is it? Because this car is not a solid axle.
Nope, this is an independent
this
car.
This is an IFS, and is this your first IFS car you've driven?
Yep, it's actually the first time I've ever driven one.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Okay, so was that the first time essentially you've driven it when you got out here on the lake bed and started posting videos about it?
Yep.
Yeah.
So the video I posted of shock tuning the day before was when I was shock tuning.
Yeah.
So that's about the amount of seat time I've had.
Wow.
Wow.
And my first full race pace was during qualifying on Tuesday.
Okay. Wow. That's crazy. What did you race? Okay, so before we get there, it's an IFS car. How do you like the differences between the solid axle and IFS?
So it's really not much smoother. When I got into it, I was expecting it to be like this,
like a cloud.
Super comfortable cloud. No, still beats you up just as bad as a solid axle. You're just hitting the holes at 30 miles an hour faster.
Okay. You can just get into everything a lot harder.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just hit the holes at a much more speed.
Jeez.
Hey, at least it's over faster.
Yeah.
What was your hashtag on Instagram that you hashtagged with the IFS? Something bird?
Flappy Bird.
Oh, Flappy Bird. Flappy Bird. Yeah. There you go. There you go.
That's nice.
Love it.
Yeah, because we interviewed Cody Addington not too long ago about his kind of transitions between the cars, and he goes, having an IFS car is cheating.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely, they shouldn't be in the same class.
Maybe. Really? You think it's that big of a difference?
Well, I say that, and then Miller's going to go out there and win it again this year. So there's definitely advantages to the solid axle. Like, last year I raced a Trent Fab 4400 car. It was the one that my dad races, like, the 1000 and stuff in.
Okay.
And it was amazing in the desert, but you couldn't correct it the same. The big advantage is in the steering.
Oh, interesting.
Because the IFS is always centered because it's a rack.
Yep.
So you can make these little adjustments on the fly that you don't even have to even think about. You can just react immediately.
Okay.
Where a solid axle car, you never have the full feeling because it's a full hydro.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're just like, I think the tires are kind of over here, maybe.
Exactly.
You just kind of have to wing it.
Yeah.
And the difference is when, like a solid axle, you aim for about 3 feet.
Okay.
The IFS, you can put it on a deck.
That's cool.
Wow.
Interesting. Has it been a big difference getting the IFS through some of the rock courses, the rock area, the rocky sections?
I don't know yet. I will find that out tomorrow.
Really?
Interesting.
So you haven't even been up in the Hammers trails at all?
I've gone up Chocolate Thunder once.
Okay.
Well.
And it felt good.
Yeah.
It felt fast and smooth. I think it's definitely going to be a little bit of a learning experience, but because I didn't get it done super recently, I just didn't want to abuse it through the rocks, and I'm saving all those miles for race day.
Right.
Did you go up the right line in Chocolate Thunder or left?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Yep.
So you got to play around on both sides of it.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. That's
now that's completely changed.
I was going to say,
there's a couple new rocks there at the top now.
Yep.
That'll be fun. It's been causing a lot of havoc.
Oh yeah,
with the races since especially since the second rock came down too. Mm-hmm. So
yep,
yeah. That's going to be really interesting to see how that does. Because you know all the lines.
Yeah.
With the solid axle rig, are they going to be the same lines? Are you planning on taking the same lines, essentially?
I'm hoping to take pretty similar lines. Uh-huh. I think the big difference is going to be you just need that little bit extra momentum.
Okay.
But pretty much the same lines, just go. And
the car should be able to handle it. So, yeah.
It's all the same components, 40 spline, front and rear, and good drivetrain from Maximum and Atlas. So it should just hold together still.
Yeah.
It should. Cross my fingers.
Yeah. Nice. So did you actually race 4400 or did you just use the 4400 car in 4800 last year?
I got to race 4400 last
year. Last year. I missed that. That's cool. How was that compared to the 48s?
So the car I raced last year, like I said, was my dad's 4400 car.
Yep.
And that thing was a giant couch. He had that tuned so well. And that would just go over about anything. But then we got into the rocks, and it was a much bigger car. It was basically my Legends car, but plus 3 inches in every direction.
Oh, really? That much bigger?
Plus 6 on length.
Wow.
So it was a much bigger car.
Yeah.
But it...
Did you get hung up a lot then, or...?
I had a couple issues in the rocks. Uh-huh. And then... we made it to the third lap, and we had about a 20-minute lead over Tom Ways, so we were sitting right around fifth place.
Uh-huh.
And then Motor decided it didn't want a quiet motor anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We lost a little bit of oil pressure and didn't want to fully blow it up, so we called it a day there.
Yeah. That's never a good choice to continue a race just to completely destroy your motor.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's always the tough call, though.
Yeah.
So, talk about your co-driver. Has he been with you for a long time, or...?
Yep. Tom actually rode with me the second time I raced King of the Hammers in the 4Runner.
Okay.
And then he took a year or two break, and then since I got into the Legends car, the Trent Fab car, he's ridden with me.
Nice. Full time.
Yep.
That's cool.
So, you got... Yeah, so he's going to help you out tomorrow. He's probably never been in an IFS car either.
Just a little bit of shop tuning.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun, the conversation between the two of you tomorrow when you're hitting these obstacles. And I think you're going to do great. And you're going to be like, oh, my God, this is awesome. And you guys are going to be like, okay, why didn't we do this a while back, right?
Yep. It's all just time and money making race.
Sure,
cars,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
How much of a serious conversations versus just kind of talking and BSing while you're out on the trail for 12 hours with your co-drivers? Right.
So Tom is definitely there to keep my head in the game, but that's not always race car stuff. We just talk about random things going on, and it's a lot more have a good time while we're going. But definitely still eye on the prize. We're going for wins.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's, I mean, one of my first hammers, I remember, God, I keep forgetting their name, the two brothers that came across stage with the music blaring and stuff. You know, they came across stage, they looked like hell, but they had, you know, huge grins on their face. They loved it. They finished. And I remember the announcer came in with the microphone to the driver and goes, "Hey, what was it like out there on the course?" And the brother and the co-driver grabs a mic and says, "It was a 14-hour car wreck."
Yeah.
That's what it was like.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Controlled car wrecks the entire time.
I don't even know how much control we have anymore.
How many ponies is your new car pushing out?
I think the new car is right around 740.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
It is a blast. It's the CBM aluminum block LSX motor.
LSX.
It's a 451.
Okay.
Nice.
And that just gets with it. Whenever I want.
Yeah.
Whenever I step my foot down.
Instant access to power torque. Mm-hmm. What was your Legends car?
That actually, I think, had a little bit more.
Really?
But it was more top end.
Okay.
The good thing about the new motor is from 3 grand to 6 grand, it's all there. And nice. My Legends car was more around 4,500 to 6.
Wow.
So you get a little bit lower, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome, man. I'm jealous.
Yeah. it's a good time. You'll have to go for a ride at some point.
Yeah. Oh, I'm down. Let's go.
Okay. Are you going to be able to fit in the car?
Pause. Time out. I don't know. I'm 6'4". I don't fit in buggies and cars very well. No. So
good news about the new car is it's a bubble roof.
Ah.
It's actually luxury. A car that I have a little headroom in, too.
Nice.
Right on.
Uh-huh. Nice.
See? There
we're
you
gonna,
go.
We're going to take an intermission here and go play around the car.
Sounds like a good time.
No, I think your car, when I went by to grab you there, it was undergoing some maintenance. So
yeah, we're doing a little bit of race prep right now.
Yeah.
Right before the race, you know.
So of course. Talk about the race prep, because a lot of people don't realize. They think, you know, you build a car, you bring it to the lake bed, you do a couple test runs, you check the tire pressure and da-da-da, and then you're back out on the race cars. That's far from the truth.
I would say it's probably 95% time working on the car and getting parts and making sure everything's right, and then 5% driving.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
And like I was talking to Shear, I know a few people in Shear's pit, and I mean, they went out and qualified second.
Oh, yeah.
During Power Hour.
Mm-hmm.
The car completely got torn apart.
Yep.
Any wearable part that, you know, common wearable part. Got replaced.
Shear is one of the best teams at that, which is probably why he's so consistently up at the top.
Sure.
He goes through his car after every time he basically drives it and makes sure every component's right. He's next level when it comes to team management.
That is nuts.
Like that.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is crazy. But a lot of people are doing that. I mean, your top contenders here. No, it's not uncommon. So,
how long does that take to completely take the car apart and put it all back together and have it race ready from between qualifying and race time?
So taking like transmission out, Atlas, all of that stuff, axles all the way out, probably a good day's worth of work to take it apart and put it back together.
Wow.
Like, and that's a hard day's work with the whole crew.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I went through and I swapped transmissions and transfer cases and axles between three rigs in 7 days. And I was like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
It's never a good time.
No. Oh no, not at all. So cool. That's kind of your background with cars. Mm-hmm. What's your daily driver? I'm just curious, because when you go from a race car to a daily driver, we're getting some funny looks from the team manager over here.
So it kind of depends on what I'm in at the time. It's a Dodge Durango most of the time.
Okay.
Yep.
Not too bad.
So a very good car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. There you go. See,
cool. That's
my
good.
Stepmom's old car. And
that works.
She got the upgrade to the new Dodge Durango RT, and then I got the 5.7.
There you go.
Yeah. It's still.
So are you still racing that around? Like, you know, you're prepping for a race or anything, or do you drive like an old man?
No, I got a speeding ticket one time, and that was not a good time.
Okay. So you're very
Miss Daisy on the road.
There you go. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most drivers are like that.
That's funny. Anyways, so you have, getting through and to where you are today and growing up with your off-roading background, and you have a very unique view of Ultra 4 that not a whole lot of people get to have.
I've been lucky enough to grow up basically on this lake bed and watch the sport grow.
Exactly. What's kind of been your take of the transition from where it started to now having 70,000 people out here and getting, 3 million views through the live stream and the blowing up to the level it is here right now?
It was crazy to watch, because I still remember 2008 when Shannon won for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
There might have been 50 RVs on the lake bed. Half the teams were still staying in their tents or just their trucks with a flatbed trailer. And now it's got to be 20,000 RVs out here.
There's a lot.
Easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's an entire town. We have power. We have basically, potties everywhere. Food vendors, everything.
You get an entire town. I heard that there's a rumor going around that Amazon and UPS will even deliver down here. Is that true?
I haven't seen it or heard of that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I heard for 2 weeks out of the year now, they decided that they're going to start delivering to Hammertown. I'm like,
really?
I want to test that and figure out how that works and start
delivering to the pen.
Exactly.
To the tent.
Yeah, right? Yeah, to the address in Hammertown. That'd be awesome.
That'd be great.
Right? Oh, man. So how has it been with your dad? Has he been, he's obviously a big supporter of yours.
Oh, yes. I couldn't do this without him.
Uh-huh. How much has he kind of like, has he pushed you a lot to do a lot of this? Or have, has it been a lot of your choice and been like, because, you know, there's a lot of parents out there that will really try and push their kids into something that they want their kids to be in. How has that dynamic been between you two?
So I would say the first race I raced in the 4Runner, I was definitely nervous about it because I didn't know if I was fully ready, but he really supported me and pushed me to do it.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I was hooked and I was like, when's the next time we could go out? Come on. One more time. Let's do it again.
Well, I was figuring since you're jumping a samurai 50 feet at 10 years old, that maybe that was the indicator. When you
he's definitely allowed me to do what I've done. And supported me the whole way through.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Does he help kind of guide you and give you a lot of tips and tricks here and there? Does he kind of let you figure stuff out on your own at that point?
So he does when he can, when it's not like the outside,
right?
Because
he can't give you any inside information.
Yeah. So there's times where I can tell he wants to help me,
right?
But just flat out can't. Yeah. Like I get the course map a day after everybody else does.
That's funny.
There's literally no advantage.
I was going to say I've heard that before that you actually are at more of a disadvantage than other drivers because he does guard and make sure that he keeps business separated from your racing operation, which 100%. Is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
That is pretty cool.
What's your favorite trail out here growing up doing all the hammer trails? I mean, there's so many trails, but what do you like to do? What's like your favorite trail to go run?
I would have to say my favorite right now is Wrecking Ball.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because going back to the first time I raced out here, I was petrified of dropping that giant waterfall.
Right.
I was horrified of it being in this little 86 4Runner. I was like,
sure.
I'm not going down that. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then since then, we've gotten to run it a few more times, and I would say now it's my favorite because it's a good mix between it's a pretty good-sized trail lengthwise and difficulty. I mean, it's not easy, but, you know, you can still make it up, and it's a fun trail.
What do you think is the hardest trail out here?
I'm forgetting the name of the new trail out there. Lap 3 only.
Not Guacamole.
Hell to Pay.
Oh, Hell to Pay. Yes. To Pay. So I haven't seen that one yet.
So we just have to go down it this year.
Okay.
And I'm very thankful for that because I don't think half the Ultra 4 cars
really
could drive up that trail.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was in the old spec car on 40s. It's my pre-runner now, me and Cam Steele's pre-runner. And we were able to drive down it, but we were doing some front burns and rear burns, just making it down the trail.
Wow. Getting down the trail. Wow.
Yeah.
How new is that trail? Did they just break it and get it going, or?
So I know the Tin Benders broke it 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
But when I drove down it for pre-running, I think I was the fourth or fifth tire tracks down there.
Really?
Wow.
That's going to be impressive.
So it's not a very commonly driven trail.
No.
Yeah.
No. We did a Fool of Love the other day, and I got towards the top of that, and I'm like, how the heck is anybody going to drive up this thing? I mean, without winching, right? And then here comes these four-steer badass rock buggies with these old-timers that...
Oh, yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do. I mean, they struggled. They didn't walk right up, but they made it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, this is crazy hard trail. But there is. There's a ton of great from mild to wild out here. And what you guys do on...
Like Cody's Penny.
Yeah, Pretty Penny.
Yeah, that thing just... He points at stuff, and it just somehow goes up the side of this mountain, and you're like, man.
Exactly. Well, he's got a lot of tricks there. I learned that, you know, he's got 300 pounds of lead shot in the tires, so, that keeps it pretty sticky with his BFG stickies.
Uh-huh.
But, anyways, it's just fun watching this week from these piece-of-crap Toyota pickups that have been turned into raisins to these million-dollar trophy trucks that are running today and everything in between that's on this lake bed right now and watching them, you know, just kick ass out there on these different trails and stuff.
It's cool seeing all the different personalities out there, too, and meeting the drivers, meeting a bunch of the pit crews, meeting the other people you just see around the lake bed. It's a lot of fun out here.
Well, sure. Yeah. And I mean, for you to see just come out here recreating, wheeling, and then hammers started, yeah. You know, and you've seen it, you've seen everything. I mean, did you, I don't think anybody ever expected to get this big, but I mean, now it's like, how much bigger does this thing get? Where does it go from here?
I think for the last 10 years, we've said, well, this has to be the biggest it's ever going to be.
Right.
And then it adds 20% the next year, and you're like, how big can this go?
Yeah.
I don't think we really know yet.
Was there, I heard kind of rumors of 50, 55,000, 60,000 last year. Was there, do you know how many people were here last year?
I don't know a true count.
Yeah.
It's so hard to tell because while we try to make sure we keep track of everybody, there's still so many different ways
sure.
to get into this lake.
Sure.
And people bypass gates. And
Right. That's true. But you can't get into Hammertown without an armband.
Yeah.
And I got to say, the people every year, I mean, everybody's great, but the guards that are working the gates,
uh-huh.
they greet you and good morning. You know, I mean, they're really nice. You're leaving,
cool.
They're like, have a great day. And I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I don't know if that's part of your dad telling them to do that or what, but that's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
It's always been a welcoming deal going into Hammertown.
And leaving feel yeah. like family's over.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's Ultra 4 in general. Like we were talking about earlier. I mean, it's just like drivers and everything. I mean, it's just amazing how fan friendly the sport is, how close fans can get to cars, drivers, crews, anything. And most people are more than happy to take time and talk to you if they're not in race prep mode or getting ready to go out and qualify or obviously, you know, respecting their time. But it is super cool, the community. And
everybody's super cool out here.
And everybody helps each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, racers, crews, all that stuff, everybody's helping, you know, for the end goal. So,
yeah.
Until you get on the track, then it's just game on, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're all best friends until I see you on the track. And then, you know, climb over their hood. Or...
Yeah, use them as traction to get up places. Absolutely.
So what's your starting position tomorrow?
I'm starting 17th.
17th. So you're up towards the front of the pack there. Had a good qualifying run. So what's your prep from now? I mean, you're chilling right now doing this podcast, but I mean... When do you start to get into race mode and from when you strap on that helmet and suit in the morning to get in that car?
So tonight we're just going to make sure the car's all ready to go through tech and contingency, then get a good night's rest and get ready for the race tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's really...
It's another night? I mean, like, is there any special dinner you do tonight or anything? Like carbo load? Or do you just like, no? No?
No.
Just like another day.
Yeah.
Do you load up on fluids at all to kind of like overhydrate and get ready for that?
I definitely drink a little bit extra water and make sure my body's ready for
hydrated.
Next day.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Drink your water now.
Yep.
But just basically another day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. Do you run the UTVs at all?
I did this year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Nice. And how did that go for you?
Not wonderful either. This year has been a little bit of a rough one so far in the week.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What happened in the UTV race? What happened in...
So, me and Cam partnered up for both the UTV race and the EMC race this
year. Okay.
And in the UTV race, we were having electrical issues basically from when we started. And the car would randomly, like, gas pedal would not work and the car would go into limp mode at random points. Huh. And he threw it into a berm and ended up dead pedal. Gas pedal stopped working and the car just flopped over on its side. And that killed a little bit of time and ran out of gas early on, too, probably because it was going into limp mode so often.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a little bit of a rough day, and we just weren't quite able to finish in time.
Okay.
Got into the rocks, and I realized I was in two-wheel drive.
Oh, jeez.
There was a few of those.
Wasn't working. Yeah, it was all kinds of weird things going on with the electronics in the car.
Yeah, interesting. I was out at a back door on Sunday during the UTV race, and I was surprised at how many were trying to come through in two-wheel drive, and I was like,
oh, man.
You can't do backdoor in a UTV in two-wheel drive. It does not work.
I really didn't want to be on backdoor in a UTV at all.
Right. Oh, man.
I would say that was my biggest worry this week, dropping backdoor in a UTV just because they're so short and that's such a big one.
Well, yeah, we talked about the Suzuki Samurai. It's basically the same thing, the UTV.
That was the first ever UTV, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. But you guys did backdoor just fine.
Yep.
I don't remember rolling you guys over, so.
Nope. Cam was able to drop it nice and smooth, and then I didn't quite make it that far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So, the 4800 race, you qualified for that. Where did you, what position did you qualify?
So, Cam actually dislocated his thumb, dropping back during the UTV.
There was a few people that had big thumb issues or other wrist issues from dropping backdoor.
I know personally Dan Fresh from Savvy broke his wrist pretty good.
That's who it was. I heard somebody broke their wrist dropping into that. So okay.
From the wheel just getting spun in your hand.
The UTVs, because it's not a full power steering,
when
they were hitting the bottom, it was locking the wheels out. And if they had their thumbs or anything in there, not good things.
Yeah, there was a lot of them that were choosing kind of the right line, coming down, hitting that little nub rock at the bottom.
Yep.
And that was just locking their steering. Yeah. And we saw a bunch of broken racks.
Yeah.
Tie rods snapped left and right. Axles were snapping. And apparently wrists and thumbs are snapping.
Ouch.
So,
it was rough.
It was brutal. So Cam has a bum thumb.
Yep.
And so how did the race go then for you guys?
I ended up qualifying for him.
And okay.
We got second overall.
Nice.
Which was super nice.
Yeah.
It was nice to, he got out early and didn't have any dust. Got through pit one and out to Cougar Buttes and dropped right onto a rock on the front link. And it definitely wasn't his fault. I think it was just kind of a worn out link and just racing happens, and we ended up ripping it out of the heim from the link.
Really?
Yep. And it's
that's impressive.
The whole axle underneath it.
Holy smokes!
Wow.
It made recovery for a long day.
Ooh. How fast were you going? I mean, was it just crawling through rocks at that essentially?
Just going through Cougar Buttes.
Wow.
It was still when Cam was in the car. I didn't even get in the car yet.
Oh, geez. wow.
But I was in pit one because that was our plan for when I was going to get in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Schneider, the owner of that car, me and him got the call that the car was dead and done. And he was sitting in the pits because he was racing 4500 yesterday.
Okay.
And he was waiting for an alternator to be delivered because his went out in the first 10 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
And I didn't get to pre-run the first lap. So he said, well, I guess you're getting in my car and you get to just do the first lap because I'm going to take a break now.
Nice.
So I ended up racing the first lap for him and caught up to the pack, and he ended up finishing sixth in class yesterday.
Okay, nice. Wow.
Yep, that's impressive. That's cool. Oh, wouldn't that be nice just to hang out and just go ahead, take my car.
Yeah,
have a good time.
Yep.
Be awesome.
Nice. So you're pretty almost done with the week.
Yes, sir.
We just have one more race for you.
Yep.
The big race. Yeah. So do you mentally put more emphasis on the big race than you do? Do you kind of treat the other races as pre-running and build up to 4,400? Or are you like every single one, you're like, I'm winning this when you get the line?
I really try to mentally say, well, this is a race. It's like every other race.
Uh-huh.
Going out there to do as well as I can.
Okay.
My dad said early on to me that if you're going to do something, make sure you do it right.
Yeah.
So if you're strapping into a car, don't mess around. Make sure you're as prepared as you can be.
That's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're starting off. What time is lineup tomorrow? Six at the same time?
I think it's six. Yep.
Check in with his coordinator over there. Yeah. Love that.
All the time.
And medic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Coordinator/medic.
Social media.
Yeah, social media. Yeah. Everything. That's awesome.
That's funny. Well, cool. I want to wish you guys best of luck.
Thank you.
I hope you guys do awesome tomorrow. It's going to be really cool to see how you guys do with the new car.
Yep.
Especially getting through the rock sections that you're not quite sure how it's going to go, but
hopefully just cruise.
Yeah.
We got to find out what channel they're on so we can listen in.
Oh, that'd be fun. We'll have to do that too.
Okay.
So we can just, I'll leave the 4Runner here, set it on crossband repeat.
There
we'll
you
just go.
Go
walk around. Cause we're going to be, we have media passes.
Okay.
So we're going to be covering for the podcasts, out at Spooner's and Outer Limits.
Okay.
So we're going to try and be out there.
Yeah. Wave as you go by.
Yep.
Hopefully up near the front.
Exactly.
Exactly. So we're going to be rooting for you. We'll be cheering you on.
Awesome.
Is there anybody, you know, obviously it takes a small army to do what you do.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that you want to thank as well? Kind of take the opportunity. Any sponsors that have really stepped up and done an awesome job for you?
I have some amazing people that help support me. UConn, for sure. Mm-hmm. Nitto, KMC, mm-hmm. Trent Fab, Spider Tracks, and 4WP.
Nice.
Four Wheel Parts.
Oh, yeah. They're actually a new sponsor of me this year, and they've helped up or stepped in and helped me and get parts done. And
that's cool. Do they
do it without them?
Do they have a pretty good stock of stuff? They have a massive tent in Hammertown. Yeah. So do they have a pretty good stock of stuff there for the racers? And
they have stuff for the racers, mm-hmm. all the trail wheelers out here. When I was going over there to just talk to them, I saw them sell like Dana 44 axle shafts.
Holy smokes, yeah.
Anything that people needed. They would just have this parts catalog and looked it up and they're like, okay, here's your parts.
Yeah, that's so true. A buddy of ours, Josh.
Yes.
Siebel. He came down with his four-door JK five years ago. I was just talking with him about it, and he said he completely blew out his entire, he grenaded the rear end.
Oh, man.
So he had to get new axle shafts, a whole new differential, new gears, and pinion, everything.
Yep.
And he said that he got it all from the four-wheel parts booth, and I was like, really? They pretty much did a whole axle swap almost here on the lake bed between volunteering for races there. So that's impressive. So it's very cool to see everything that goes on out here. All the racers that come out and have the passion to put on a show and do what you guys do, all of your guys' teams that come out here and put in the time and effort. How many man hours freaking goes into
hundreds and thousands.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's truly impossible without all the people out here supporting.
January 10th is when people start hitting the lake bed to set up Hammertown and everything and get this thing going.
I think we came out for the first time the first weekend of January.
Really?
Uh-huh. And then every weekend after that, we were out here, not when we weren't in school.
I was going to say, so the school schedule, I kind of wanted, I mean, yeah, you're going to school, so like you're missing school this week.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's got to be hard because obviously you talk to your teachers and say, hey, I'm a race and I got this big race and stuff. I mean, are they pretty cool with all that or are they like, well, you need to figure it out, kid?
Some are understanding. Some are like, well, that stinks for you. Yeah. You signed up for school,
too. Welcome to college.
Yep. So really depends on the teacher, but most are very accommodating.
That's cool. That's cool.
Do any of your teachers follow?
That's what I was going to say. Do your teachers like fans and like, know what's going on?
I haven't found one yet.
Oh.
Maybe one day.
That's funny.
Good.
That's so cool. So what's the future hold? Now you got this IFS car, obviously this is going to be your first race with it, but what are your goals and kind of plan for the next couple years?
So we're hoping to race this car on the East Coast and most of the West Coast, except for the NorCal race.
Okay.
And we're going to go back East and do all the series over there. And then next year, hoping to have the new car and send this car over to Europe. And I'll drive a race, and then a couple other people will drive races, and we'll use it like that.
Very cool. Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this thing's going international.
Yeah, it really is. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And how quickly it's growing internationally, too. Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to race over there in 2017, I believe.
Wow.
We sent the spec car over the year I got into the Trent Fab car.
Wow.
And ended up being second in the national, or the international points, I guess, over there.
Wow.
And we won the most races. We won 2 out of 4.
Nice.
In the old so spec good. Car in 4400.
That's so good.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome.
I was going to mention, when he mentioned the spec car, and you don't know much about Ultra 4 racing. Yeah. But so the cool thing is the car is specific, and the only thing that's different is basically the driver and co-driver.
Yeah.
Everything else is the same in that car. Uh-huh. That's what Arturo has, Arturo Soria.
Yeah.
He has one of the old spec cars. That's what he's racing.
Oh, okay.
And when he blew up his front differential there at that race down in Ridgecrest.
Yep.
Texas Jesus and Dave. Mm-hmm.
They actually got it from the parts in our garage.
Exactly. They
had them
because they were all spec'd. So he's like, hey, we got an axle housing for you. You can get this together to go race the Stampede, the Nationals.
Yeah.
In Reno, Sparks. And so pretty cool. We'd interviewed Arturo, and super cool, down-to-earth guy.
He actually jumped past me in the first rock sections of the Nationals.
There you go. That's right. Exactly.
He's going so fast.
He's not afraid. He's not afraid of that skinny pedal.
He pushes.
Yeah.
He's super smooth and consistent, too. He's fast.
Exactly. So Yeah, so that just to give you a little background, that the spec car is still alive and well, at least one of them.
yeah.
But and he got a DNF yesterday, and unfortunately, I haven't heard the whole story yet. I'm trying to track him down, but it was unfortunate. But the car looked really good leaving the line. Nice new black paint job, and he did a
really
lot
good.
Of work to it prepping. But anyways, so that's cool, man. Ultra 4 is just this. I don't know. How many people do you think are out here?
Like spectators?
Yeah, spectators.
I think there's got to be 7,500 out here.
Or 75,000.
I'm thinking, that's an accurate number. 75, 80,000 people. I mean, you know, give or take $5,000. It was 5,000 people, but it is insane. And
I think there was more people on the lake bed on Wednesday than there was on Friday last year.
You're right.
It seemed like it.
That's exactly right.
And even today, there's like hundreds
still
of more
dumping
cars
in,
just coming in right now. It's insane.
Yeah.
So we got here on Friday afternoon, you know, a week in advance. And it was like when we were here Wednesday last year, there was that many people already here a week before.
That's crazy.
And you just see this thing explode. And then you go into Hammertown. That, I don't know if the footprint's expanded, but there's just a lot going on in Hammertown.
Yeah.
It's like trying to, you can't really take it all in one day.
No.
You got, and you can get a Habit Burger now.
You
can get the ice cream, wood-fired pizza.
The fire truck pizza place.
The Dang Brothers. Dang Brother Pizza. I mean,
there's
just
actually going to be a Nitto party with them.
See?
Later.
There you go.
Nice.
Yep. And then all the, I mean, all your main vendors are there, obviously. 4Wheel Parts has their big tent. King's always right there. You know, Tribe does the fire. I mean, it's just cool how the support and the things that go on in Hammertown. That's got a life of its own. And then, of course, all the side stuff that goes on, like tonight, Thursday night, Backdoor is going to be
Backdoor Thursday night.
Crazy.
Backdoor is crazy every night.
True. We won't get into some of those stories.
No. But just this whole event, you know, for people to come out here, they bring their dirt bikes, their four-wheelers, their side-by-sides, whatever. You can go out and run some trails when it's non-race days, the same trails that you guys are running during the race.
And they make it look easier than half the race cars.
I don't know. There is some talented vehicles and drivers out there for sure.
It's definitely way harder once you throw the helmet on it. Everything changes.
Yeah.
We were at the shootout, and being media, we got to sit up on the hill to the side of the shootout.
Yep.
And watching some of those drivers go up with the Hans and the helmets on, you're just looking and they're
hammering.
It's just hammering down, and you're like, I don't know how they're even able to see where they're going, what they're doing, or anything.
I feel like half the time we drive by Braille.
Yeah.
Just feel it in the front tires and be like, I think that's kind of where I want to
be. That's cool.
Oh, man. Well, cool. Thanks for coming out.
Of course.
Where can,
thank you for
been awesome.
Me.
Absolutely. Where can everybody find you if they want to follow
social
you?
Social media.
Check in on you.
Definitely Instagram and Facebook. I'm Bailey Cole Racing on both of those. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm starting a YouTube channel.
Whoa, look at you.
Next week. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Throw some of my GoPro up and GoPro videos.
Because you got GoPros going in the car all the time.
Oh, yeah. We have GoPros going up. We have drone footage from the guys over at Dusty Drone on Instagram.
Nice.
They, so definitely Facebook and Instagram is a good place. And then eventually some YouTube.
Right on. So your Instagram is Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, _ Cole, C-O-L-E, _ racing.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just so everybody can get that.
Yep. Follow up. Check out what you're up to. There was one I wanted to follow and say, you know, for your future coming into not just the next couple of years, but further on down the road.
Yep.
Are you looking at expanding and getting into other forms of racing as well? Or do you think you're just going to stick with Ultra 4? Like, how was your experience at Baja? And are you looking into any other forms of racing? Or?
So I would definitely say Ultra 4 is where, like, my heart is.
Absolutely.
Like, I love the rock crawling aspect of everything. Desert racing is really fun, and anybody that tells you going through the desert as fast as you can isn't fun is completely lying to you because it's a blast. But also slowing down and doing the rock crawling makes it that much more challenging, which I appreciate.
Nice.
But the 1,000 was a blast, and I would definitely not say no to anybody.
Get your hands on a spec truck at 1,000.
If somebody wants to offer a spec truck or anything, I'll drive a class 11 bug. There's an open seat. Shopping carts, whatever it takes.
That's awesome. So cool. Here, the podcast Snail Trail here, we like to end with kind of a final words for the listeners out there. So I'll give you a second to think about it. Jason, do you have any final words for everybody out there?
Oh, I get a final word?
You get a final word.
This is like Jimmy's thing.
It's whoever's on the podcast.
Wow. And I only get one word.
I'll give you two. How's that?
Awesome is going to be one of them. That's one word.
That's 7 words.
Awesome. Oh, Jesus. See, this is, he gets very technical. Our podcast is a lot more relaxed and not so technical.
Now, what do you want to end with?
What I want to end with is this thing, if you've never experienced it, I know people that I have told them about Ultra 4. They don't care about racing. They don't care about off-road. They don't care about any of that stuff. But they have become fans. Because of the stories and stuff that come out. And I think the main thing is, and just like, you know, a lot of these people that we've talked to, they started out just weekend wheelers like we all are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, for whatever chance, you know, you got an opportunity to strap on, put on a helmet and a suit and hop in a car and start to race, however you got there. And then that's it. But anybody can do it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it takes time, it takes commitment, it obviously takes some money and sponsors and all that stuff, but all you guys started from basic wheeling and got to this point, and you know, each opportunity created another opportunity down the road.
Because it's what we all love.
Exactly.
Yeah. We want to be.
And that's what I love about this. I mean, it's just, like I say, the Ultra 4 family, it is truly a family, and you feel like it. If you haven't been to this event, be there. Ultra4.com/live. Ultra4racing.com/live.
.com/live.
Check it out. Even though if you don't catch it on the live feed, it's still on there to watch later on. I know I stream it at my house and watching it, and it is, it's just a blast. So check it out. And it's been a pleasure talking with you today, hearing your story, and this whole operation here. And thank you, Bailey, for your time.
Yeah. Thank you guys very much for having me.
Yeah. So what's your final words for everybody out there?
I think mine would have to be going on what he said is family. Because everybody out here is a family. And I mean, last year there was a number of times where a competitor would help me out. I'd help them out.
Yep.
Just whatever it takes to get everybody out on the track. And
how many competitive sports do you have where their competitors are actively helping and trying to help each other.
Want the other person to succeed with everything.
Exactly,
in
right?
I've given tires off of my car and given to a competitor just so they can continue. And same things happen to me.
Like, yeah.
It's amazing what everybody's doing.
It's really cool. And I think that I think people like you, like people like your dad and your family that have really kind of stepped up and made that a staple of this sport, and it's really cool to see. So thank you for coming on. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. And the manager, thank you for putting him here into the Taj Mahal for out of the schedule. I think that wraps it up. So without further ado, just remember, everybody out there, keep racing.
I like it.
Well, there you go, Chris.
That was cool.
I mean, what a great story, huh?
Oh my God.
We've been fortunate here to interview, you know, a variety of people.
Oh, absolutely.
Recently we've interviewed a lot of great people, you know, Amber Turner with the Suzuki Samurai. You got, of course, Arturo.
Right.
Saria, that unfortunately didn't have the best outcome there at this year's King of the Hammer, but still positive attitude, and it's just a matter of time before he finishes across that finish line at KOH. Next year, Arturo. That's happening next year.
Absolutely.
Lorenzo agrees. You know, and then Ultra 4 Jones, Kevin Jones, who...
Great
Third race.
Ever.
And hits first time King of the Hammers and finishes, I think the final count was 19th in his class. So,
right.
you know, 26th overall out of 38 cars that finished the race that day in time.
With no power steering.
With no power steering.
Imagine if he had steering.
Ugh, jeez.
Might have been in the top 10.
Yeah, see?
So, next year, Kevin.
Yeah, and then, you know, we got to sit down in Lasertown with Cody Wagner. So, I mean, it was, you know, an incredible week getting to see all of those people.
Right.
Live on the lake bed and get to interview and talk with them. So, Bailey, thank you for your time. You know, look them up on Instagram there. Bailey_Cole_racing.
Right.
And, yeah, he's doing great things and going places. So, follow this kid along. It's awesome.
Yep. Back in school. Going through the King of the Hammers withdrawals.
There was just on Instagram here recently, the Levi Shirley had a post. There was some helicopter heli footage.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he nerfed Bailey.
Oh, he did?
You know, getting around him out in the desert. Yeah, I mean, they were kind of battling back and forth.
Sure.
So it was a cool video. And then, you know, Bailey said, man, I wish I was out racing in the desert instead of doing homework again. So,
right.
You know, but yeah, got to get that piece of paper.
Got to do it.
And keep winning races.
Heck yeah.
Woo.
Just get the piece of paper and then you can do whatever the hell you want with your life. Absolutely. So it's all good.
It worked for us.
Well, yeah, it worked. Yeah. I'm not doing whatever the hell I want. Well, actually, we are now. We're doing this podcast, which is fun. We're not getting paid shit, but, you know, it's all good.
That's all right. It's fun. It's fun.
So, all right. Well, that was cool, man. I'm glad you had the opportunity to talk to Bailey Cole. Hopefully, at some point, I get to meet him and talk to him. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh, you didn't even get to meet him?
No. That was dirt.
Good, Chris. You?
I'm dirt.
Where were you? You had to...
I don't know.
You were somewhere.
Oh yeah. Well, I think we went down to Hammertown.
Okay.
Goofed off. Whatever. So it's all good. It's all good. I don't feel too bad about it. Right. So.
Well, I'll make a special arrangement here.
There you go.
You can meet and greet with Bailey Cole.
Perfect. little pity party.
Yeah. Pity party for Chris Bailey. We need you to come down.
Anyway.
Shake hands with Chris. But okay.
So yeah. What else you got? Anything?
I really don't.
Well, there you go.
Are we going to talk about an alcohol or anything?
I don't think so. Not on this show.
Not on this show? Not on Wheeling, Wine, and Whiskey?
Well, not on this episode. Sorry. So, but yeah, no. When this episode drops, will be... I don't even know when it's going to drop. So.
It's
But hopefully you enjoyed it. How do you get a hold of us, Jason?
Wheeling, Wine, and Whiskey on the gram.
Oof.
WheelingWineAndWhiskey.com.
There you go.
On the old... interwebs. And then, of course, you can email us at chris@wheelingwineandwhiskey.com or jason@wheelingwineandwhiskey.com. And don't forget the coveted 5-star reviews.
There you go.
On iTunes. And absolutely. Write a review.
Please.
We will read your review on the air.
Lorenzo will screen them and read them.
Yes.
But, yeah.
He's been doing well this year so far.
It's only still young. 7 weeks in.
You're still young.
I don't know what medallion that is, but he's doing it. So,
anyway. All right. Well, fantastic. I think that's a wrap.
Good times. We're done. We're out.
We're done. We're out.
We're out.
We're out. We're done.
Have another drink. We're out.